fortune to be amongst all of you this evening. I would like to sincerely offer my gratitude to you for taking your precious time to come. Tonight we are celebrating Dasera. It is a very appropriate event, especially for those in the medical field. It is on this ceremony where we commemorate Lord Rama's victory over Ravana. I'd like to speak some lessons of this story, specifically in relation to the medical field. Hopefully it will give some light to medical students as well. Ravana represents a very serious disease. A disease that spread like an epidemic and inflicted practically the whole world with suffering. We know that the longer a disease is left untreated, it has the tendency to grow, to multiply within oneself, and perhaps, if it is contagious, to more and more and more people. The more people that contract it, they spread it to others. For a doctor, he or she is on the battlefield, fighting a war against disease, suffering, or death. In fact, Bhagavad Gita was spoken on a battlefield. Because every living being has both a divine and a demoniac nature within our hearts. That demoniac nature is the greatest cancerous disease. And the divine nature is our natural good health. Like it is said, there are two dogs within every heart. There's a good dog and a bad dog. And they're always in battle with each other. Which dog will win? The one that we choose to feed. If you choose to feed the bad dog, it'll get stronger, 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 and howl louder than ever. But if you feed the good dog and starve the bad dog, the good dog will conquer. Just like in medicine, if a patient comes to you, has a terrible disease, if he keeps performing those activities that exasperate, perpetuate the disease, and will not take his medicine, what will you say? The person's a fool. The person's killing himself. Yes? We have to stop doing the things that will exasperate that disease. And we have to take the proper diet and the proper medicines in order to give our body strength to conquer those diseases. I'm not a doctor, but this is what I have observed. And we do oversee a hospital, so we have some, we've heard some things. So in the same way, this diseased, cancerous, bad dog is howling. It represents envy, arrogance, lust, anger, greed, illusion. And the good dog is representing virtues like humility, forgiveness, self-control, generosity, honesty, contentment, and wisdom. There's a fight between these two dogs within all of us. And which one is stronger is determined by which one we feed. And how do we feed? By the choices we make and by the time we give them. Very essential. So the Bhagavad Gita was spoken on battlefield for very relevant reasons. It is meant to teach us how to fight this battle and win. The battle of life. Duryodhana represents disease. Yudhisthira represents good health. In a similar way, the basic storyline of Ramayana is a battle between Lord Rama and Ravana. Same principle. Why is it that in so many scriptures there's so much talk about war? When spirituality is meant to bring about peace. If you read in the Western scriptures, the Old Testament, it's one battle, one war after another, and all kinds of killings and fightings. What does that have to do with peace on earth? It's about battle and war. And that's the basis of the New Testament also, where there was another type of battle and killing. And in the Holy Quran, so much battle in those early stages of Islam, wars. And if we read Mahabharata, it's a story of a war. Ramayana, it's a war story. And in the Puranas, there's hundreds and hundreds of stories of wars. Even Srimad Bhagavatam, the crest jewel of all Vedic literatures. There's histories of one war after another.
Harivo. But then we look at just the history of the modern world.
I don't know how you categorize history today, but when I went to school in Illinois, in America,
history classes were divided by wars. American history began with the Revolutionary War. Then the next is the war of with the French. And then there was another war with the Mexicans. And then there was the Civil War. And then there was World War I. Then there was World War II. Then there was the Korean War. And when I was going to school, we were fighting a Vietnam War. Hare Krishna. And I forgot many also. Because it was over 40 years ago. So we want peace. We go to religion to find peace. We're sick and tired of hearing about all this wars and all this killing. And then we go to religious scriptures, and what do we find? More war and killing. What's happening? Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. But then you read, you know, what's the history of the Shanti? Because the reality is, in order to find that Shanti, and ultimately to find that Prem, we have to fight a battle within our own hearts. Those who say, just go with the flow. That sounds nice. But where's that flow going to bring you? That's the question. Amongst all the real acharyas who were really looking for something beyond just a more comfortable, little more peaceful material existence, those who actually are teaching us to transcend death, to actually realize with experience the eternal essence within us, for that we have to be prepared to fight a battle. Not a violent battle, an internal battle. Because we are being attacked by that bad dog. Now, in the context of Ramayana, which we are speaking of tonight, that bad dog is Ravana. And the story of Ramayana is how to defeat that Ravana that is within you, that is embodying the embodiment of that greed, that lust, that arrogance, that desire to exploit and manipulate for your own selfish purposes. It's cancer. It's a cancerous tumor, far more deadly than the physical tumors that we deal with in the medical profession. Because you have to die, yes? It's just a matter of time. We try to keep our body as healthy as possible. We try to keep our emotional system as stable as possible. But there is a higher purpose.
that we can all achieve within our lives. That is to realize our essence. What is our essence? That we are eternal spirit souls. The body is a vehicle. The mind is a subtle form of vehicle. It's like the body is the outside of the car, and the mind is like the seat you sit on. But you and me, we're the driver. And the nature of the driver within this vehicle is Satchidananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. Where's that bliss? Where's the knowledge? We're getting older. It's amazing how time works. Time is one of the greatest mysteries of creation. There's nothing more powerful than time. Even in the physical sense, in the grossest physical sense, every living being is moment by moment being defeated and destroyed by time. Yes? Just a couple days ago, one devotee showed me a photograph of our temple in Chaupati, Girgaon Chaupati, in about 1988. And I looked at that photo and I thought, God, I look young in that photo. 19 years ago, I was so young. I looked so fresh and full of energy and life. And, you know, now it's not like that anymore. What happened? The amazing thing is when you're young like that, you don't appreciate how young you look. I was thinking, it never even crossed my mind that I was so young and nice looking and everything like that. It never crossed my mind once. But now that I've lost it, I think, it's gone. What happened to it? Now look. But the amazing thing, if by God's grace I live till 80, and somebody shows me a photograph of Radha Gopinath Temple in 2007, I'll think, God, look at how young I was. But I couldn't appreciate it. I was thinking I was old. What a fool. I was thinking I was old. You don't appreciate things till you lose it. And the nature of time is you lose everything. So powerful. By the power of time, the greatest Himalayan mountains will become powder. Every ocean will be dry. The sun will burn into powder. Every planet will disappear, will be obliterated. That's the power of time. On the physical level, it's destroying everything. But that power can't be seen, can't be felt. Touched, smelled, can't hear it. It's absolutely invisible. Yes? Now, malaria, you may, if that little malaria germ or bacteria, whatever it is, when it gets in you, you can't see it, you can't feel it until it multiplies, 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 and then it just puts you right down. Might even kill you. But the fact is, you can see that malaria under a good microscope. Yes? But time, the number one best microscope, even in the year 3007, if we're still around then, when... Even the
state-of-the-art microscope of that time, they will never be able to see a trace of time. We only see its symptoms. Isn't that amazing? The most powerful thing there is in this whole creation is so subtle that it cannot be perceived by the senses. It's like it's not there, but it's controlling everything. Hare Krishna. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the 11th chapter, time I am. But Janmadhyasya, that the soul is not influenced by time. Everything else but the soul is influenced by time. Why? Because the Atma is not of material nature. It is part of God. Satchit Ananda. And within every soul is a part of God's love. And that part is infinite. The soul is infinitesimal, but the love within the soul is infinite. And the love of one soul has the power to transform even millions and millions and millions of people's hearts. It has the power to overcome every obstacle of this creation. To understand our real essence as loving servants of God is good health. Disease is forgetfulness of that. When layers and layers and layers of misconceptions cover the soul, the ego identifies itself simply as trying as that physical and emotional body that is struggling to try to enjoy and avoid suffering within this world. So Ravana, he is like this cancerous disease. But he's the disease within the heart that creates such a disease within our mind that our healthy state is forgotten. On the day of Dasara, Ram had a battle against Ravana. Why? Because Ravana exploited the property of God. You see, the nature of this kama, or material arrogance, which grows into passionate desire to enjoy, it cannot and will not ever be satisfied. People think the more I have, the more I'll be happy. But look around. Just look around. I was recently in Malibu Beach, California. And there were millionaires and practically billionaires in the room. They were asking me questions. Someone was saying, India is such an unfortunate place. So much poverty. I have been there in business. I saw people sleeping in the streets. Where do you live, sir? I live in Beverly Hills. Well, sir, how many sleeping pills do you take to go to sleep at night? Several. Several. Otherwise, you can't sleep. Why? Because anxieties. What's the anxieties? I'm not going to get into the details of his life, but there were a lot of anxieties. So, well, in Bombay, I see families sleeping on the street on a little piece of burlap cloth with rats crawling over them. And they're sound asleep without sleeping pills. So tell me, I'm not saying you should be like that. I mean, we should try to help those people, no doubt. But are you actually happier than them? It's not about money. It's not about acquisition. It's about satisfaction within. If you're not satisfied within yourself, you cannot be satisfied with anything. Because the more you have, the more you need to maintain what you have. And the more you have, the more you want. It's an endless struggle. I know people. They were simple. I'll be happy if I become wealthy. They became wealthy. I'll be happy if I'm a millionaire. They became millionaires. I'll be happy if I become billionaire. They become billionaire. Then they don't know what they're supposed to do. I'll be happy if I become the biggest billionaire. They're not happy. Because material desires are like fire. The more you feed it, the hungrier the fire becomes. So here's Ravana. He was the wealthiest man on earth at that time. If you take the Fortune 500 wealthiest men on the whole planet and put all their wealth together, it will not equal Ravana's wealth. Yes? His entire city was made of gold. Hare Krishna. And he had such power. What to speak of his airplane, Pushpaka. It's Kuvira's airplane. That airplane probably worth trillions of dollars of today's. Unbelievable. It could go anywhere. It was made out of massive airplane, made out of crystals and jewels. And not only that, as far as enjoyment, Mandodari was one of the most beautiful women in creation, his wife. And he had hundreds and hundreds of the most beautiful heavenly damsels that were under his control. He had all that. And he had undisputed power, an entire empire. But when his sister, Suparnaka, told him about Sita, he went totally mad. He had to have her. Vibhishan, his brother, Mandodari, his wife. Everyone was telling him, eventually, even Kumbhakarna, his brother. They were all saying, Ravana, cool down, man. Cool down. I mean, look what you have. You have the most beautiful women on the, not only on earth, but from the heavens.
You have golden palaces. His bed was made out of massive crystal. Diamonds. You have such power. You have an entire empire. What do you need Sita for? She's Rama's wife. Just let her be. And what did Ravana tell him? Who are you to instruct me? I know what's good for me. I will get her. And he went to Maricha. Maricha was a mystic sage. He had already encountered Ram twice in his life. And Ram, one time, just shot an arrow at him, and he went flying about 800 miles and landed in the ocean. And he went another time, and Ram did about the same thing, and he was just so afraid of Ram, he became a recluse in the forest. And everywhere he looked, he feared Ram was coming to get him. He saw a tree. Ram's behind the tree. He looked up the cloud. Ram's coming from under, behind that cloud. He looked at a river. Ram's in that river coming to get me. He was so afraid of Ram. And Ravana orders him, you disguise yourself as a beautiful deer to get attract Ram away so I can steal his wife. Maricha said, Ravana, you are a fool. You will die. I guarantee 100% you will die. I know the power of Ram. You already have everything. You already have more than anyone else in the earth. You've already defeated Indra. Just be content. Ravana said, if you don't do what I say, I will kill you. Hare Krishna. Now, you know, would you rather be killed by Ram or Ravana? So he did it. And then Ravana came, such a rascal, he disguised himself as a sage. Got Sita out of her little protective area and stole her away. And all his well-wishers were advising him, you don't need Sita, give back. This is history. But it's something more than just history. It's symbolic of that tendency within us to enjoy separate from God. That ego, the false ego, what its nature is, it can never be satisfied. But yet Maya means technically that which is not. What we think will make us happy is not what will make us happy. Just keeps us in the spell of promising us. Just to keep us diverted from our real purpose of life. Yes, we can be doctors, we can be business people, we can be professors, we can be farmers, we can be architects, we could be engineers, we could be housewives, husbands, students, swamis, we can be all these things. But our purpose in life should be toward truth, not toward chasing after the mirages of material existence. Ravana was chasing a mirage. Every time he had that promise, this will make you happy, it only frustrated him the more. So,
ultimately, Ravana stole Sita, would not give her back. He had every chance, and ultimately, a war took place. And it was a big war. Very, very symbolic war as well. Every detail of it gives us such deep lessons of what we have to do to succeed in our own life. And it culminated where it was Ram against Ravana. Ravana had his arrows. He was like the doctor in the surgery room. Yes? That battlefield, from medical analogy, because these are all medical students, it was like the OP, what is it called? Surgical room. Operation theater. Yes. And the surgeon was Ramchandra. And he had his staff of nurses and anesthesiologists and everything. Hanuman was a very good anesthesiologist. He would just hit people with his club, it was a good anesthesia. They didn't feel anything after that. And Ravana was the cancerous tumor, the disease. And his entire army was the cancer cells spreading out from him. Now, in this case, when you take out Ravana, everything else dies. That was his power. But it wasn't easy. Ravana had 10 heads and 20 arms. Ram would cut off one of his heads with an arrow. Head fell to the ground. Victory. It's working. All 10 heads fall to the ground. The monkeys are cheering. Shri Ram ki jai. And then right before their eyes, all 10 heads grow back. Ram took his arrows. All 10 heads. Shri Ramchandra Bhagavan ki! But then, all 10 heads grew back. Finally, Ram turned to Vibhishan and said, "You know, what's with your brother here?" And Vibhishan told him, "You can cut off millions of his heads and they'll keep growing back." Because he has this benediction from Brahma and Shiva that nobody could kill him like this. There's nectar in his heart. And that nectar in his heart empowers his body to be indestructible. You have to pierce his heart and dry up that nectar. Then he will die like an ordinary man. But in order to do so, Ram understood he needed the special arrow that was given to him
by Agastya Muni. And do you know where the arrow was given to him?
Hari, better to put it out now than later. See, it's like that. If you catch things early, it's not so much trouble.
That arrow was given to him in Maharashtra, the great state.
That's what Maharashtra means, yes?
In Panchavati, just near Nasik.
Now, Lord Ram, he has his own powers. But he wanted to teach the world something. That if you want to conquer ignorance, two things are required. One is your own endeavor, and the other is the blessings and the grace of great souls.
So he took that arrow of Agastya Muni and released it. It soared through the air. It was like a meteor. It was effulgent like the sun. It streamed. And struck the heart of Ravana. As all the soldiers of both sides were watching attentively, it pierced through his chest, pierced through his heart, and then that arrow sucked out the nectar and dried it up. Just dried it all up. And Ravana fell to the ground, dead. The disease was finished. And once again, health and prosperity could flourish on earth. So how in our life are we to fight this battle against the Ravana within us? We need medical supervision. What is it said? Doctor, heal thyself. We understand the principle of how if people just speculate with their health, especially when they're diseased, how dangerous of a situation it is. And we also know how dangerous it is if people approach, in America we call them quacks, here too, quacks. One person told me that they're all quacks, just some quack louder than others. But there's a science. There's an actual science. Whether it's allopathic or Ayurvedic, there's a science. But people who just speculate, they could cause so much harm to themselves and so much harm to others. Because it's very dangerous to think you know and not know. What to speak of once you influence others with your ignorance. So Krishna tells in Gita, tadvidipranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. If you want to destroy this disease of ignorance within us and come back to your original natural spiritual health, you need medical help. The physician is the guru. The medical books are the scriptures. In medicine, if a doctor
hasn't gone through any school, hasn't studied the proper medical literatures, and hasn't learned from teachers what's in those books, are you willing to get a heart surgery from him? Anybody just comes up to you and says, give me 2 lakhs of rupees, I'll give you a heart surgery. Those other guys, they're charging 3. I'll do it for 2. Well, what's your credentials? My credentials? Oh, look at me. I have 1,000 followers. And look at my hairstyle. And look at my eyes, how they're sparkling so nicely. You're going to want to see, I want to see your degree. Have you studied the books, the proper books, and did you study them under authorized teachers? And did you get your diploma, which shows that you actually satisfied your teachers? Honestly, will you allow someone to do a heart surgery on you if you don't test them for their credibility? Well, that's a minor surgery compared to the surgery of getting Ravana out of your heart. And yet people today, especially in India, anyone's a guru. They could do some tricks. They look nice. Sometimes they don't look nice. Doesn't matter how many followers you have. Really, have you learned from the proper teachers, the proper books? Because spiritual life is about surgery. Are they giving the proper medicine? So Guru Parampara is the system of, according to the Vedas, the system by which knowledge is passed down. And actually that's the principle of every great religion in the world. According to the Vedic literature, Mahabharata, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Upanishad, it explains how the Supreme Lord, who incarnates in many times in many places, comes in a beautiful golden form of Lord Chaitanya. The same Ram who killed Ravana is going to come as Lord Chaitanya. Ram killed Ravana with his bow and arrow. Krishna killed Shishupal with his Sudarshan Chakra. Narasingha Dev killed Hiranyakashipu with his claws. That was a serious surgical operation. In fact, at our Bhaktivedanta hospital, in every surgery room, we have a photograph of Lord Narasingha performing the original surgery. He's the Ishtadev for surgeons, actually. It was a gastrointestinal surgery. and it was very successful. So... Lord Chaitanya comes with the most beautiful and powerful of all weapons, the weapon of the holy name. The same power as Ram's arrow is within the holy name. It doesn't kill people, but the holy name has the power to purify the heart.
to remove the disease condition of lust, envy, anger, pride, greed, and illusion, and allow our eternal, blissful, loving self to shine, to give ultimate happiness to ourselves and to the whole world around us. This holy name, Enechi Oshadi Maya Nashi Barulagi, Harinam Mahamantra Lao Tumi Magi. Lord Chaitanya said, this holy name is the perfect medicine for this age. In the Kali Santaran Upanishad, it describes that also, that this Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, that there is no more effective medicine in this particular age and climate of Kali than this 32-syllable, 16-syllable Maha Mantra. To remove the cancers and the tumors and all the bacterias from our house, from our hearts, and make it healthy and blissful once again. But we also need proper diet. And we also need proper lifestyle. Otherwise, as we're putting medicine in, if our lifestyle is not proper, we just keep like an elephant, bathes in the water, and then it comes out and rolls in the dirt. So yes, as medical students, we understand the seriousness of disease. And from the spiritual perspective, we should take that another step. Toward real spiritual health. And we see what this disease in the heart is doing to the world. So much anxiety. Destroying the ecology of the world. Why? Because of greed. No respect even for the future generations of life due to greed. Hunger for power. Lust, envy, anger, so many wars, so much distrust, so much crime. Why? Why can't we just leave our doors unlocked and go out? Because there's so much disease, so much fear. Drug addiction, alcoholism, suicide, poverty. Poverty is not due to a lack of natural resources. Poverty has always been due to exploitation and lack of compassion. People want more and are not willing to share it with others. Yes, this disease within the heart has a massive impact on the whole world around us. The holy name is a powerful medicine. And if we have proper direction of how to, proper guidance, how to take that name by good physicians, and how to live our life properly, we could be like Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta Prabhu, will you stand up, please? Believe it or not, he is a medical doctor. And one of my dear godbrothers, His Holiness Sridhar Swami Maharaj, he was dying due to a terminal disease. And Murari Gupta Prabhu was there, and he was administering the proper medicines to him and helping him through various crises. And Sridhar Maharaj would tell me that I just love this person. So many doctors have tried to help me, but I love this person. He just makes me feel so happy all the time. And he's just so kind and so totally, totally unconditional in his help for me. And I just feel so much of Krishna's love coming through him. The original Murari Gupta, an associate of Lord Chaitanya, was a doctor. He healed the body, the mind, and the soul. That's holistic health plan. Healed the body through medicines, through proper guidance to his patients. Healed the mind by his compassion and good nature, and healed the soul by inspiring them to take God's names and fight that battle within and be happy and be happy. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. So if there are any questions anyone has, we would like to take one or two questions. As well as Radhanath Swami Maharaj will answer one or two questions.
This is just like our temple. People come just in time for prasad. They avoid all the formalities leading to the essence. Yes. If you have any questions, I could try to answer.
Anyone has any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Haribo.
You have said that Ravana was warned by many people not to do the... Ravana was warned by many others to not to steal Sita, but still he did it. And that is symbolic in our own personality, that we also do things which we know that we should not do, or like we don't like somebody or we don't hate. So we feel very guilty, but we are doing it. So how to overcome or come about? And we feel that it is not possible sometimes, and it is better to do it than to not do.
Thank you. The the need for all of us to overcome these lower qualities is to experience something higher. Param drishtva nivartate. That we can overcome these unwanted propensities when we experience a higher taste. So simply saying no to the bad dog doesn't work. We have to say yes to the good. By replacing negative with positive, we can overcome.
Transcendental life is about transformation. We may have lust. We transform lust into love through the process of directing it in a positive way. We can transform anger. We can transform envy. We can transform greed. But just learning how to direct it in a positive way. Srila Prabhupada, our Gurudev, used to say that bhakti is about choosing the positive alternative. So simultaneously, we have to say no to what we know is karmically and morally wrong. But simultaneously, we have to say yes to those dynamic, purifying activities that capture our consciousness and bring us above these temptations. So under circumstances, something happens that just triggers our anger. Yes? And we know we shouldn't do it, but we can't help it. Is that what you're talking about? Has any of you ever had this experience before? You are not alone, my friend. Two things are required. One is, life is like a battlefield. That enemy of anger is always lurking, ready to attack you at the least expected moment through incidents that come into your life. Yes? Now, in the Indian Army, when there's a war, do they just take people out of the college and just put a uniform on them, put a gun in their hand, and throw them in the front lines? Is that a good army? That army is doomed to defeat. You have to train your soldiers. You have to train them to make them strong, to know how the enemy's going to attack and understand the science of how to retaliate. Yes, that's a good army. Well, similarly, life is battle. We have to prepare ourselves. When anger is not attacking, we have to prepare ourselves, knowing that it will. And greed, and lust, and envy, and all these things, they will attack. And that's why sadhana is important. By keeping nice association, by regularly hearing spiritual subject matters, by regularly chanting God's names, we become spiritually empowered, spiritually strong. But even when we're spiritually strong, still those attacks are going to come hard. But we'll be fit and prepared for it. But then we have to make that choice to fight rather than give in. We're not spiritually strong. Even if we make that choice, we can't win. Yes? But if we're spiritually strong, if we make that choice, the power of God is with us to overcome. It's a matter of sincerity, that's all. Does that answer your question? Thank you.
Thank you, Mara. So we would like to express our heartfelt gratitude to His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, who in spite of his busy, tight schedules, spared his time to come here this evening to enlighten us with such a beautiful discourse on dealing with the Ravan within our hearts. So let us very loudly express our gratitude to Radhanath Maharaj by chanting, Hariva! 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 Also, we would like to express our gratitude to a few others who have helped us in arranging this program. We have with us Mr. Satyanarayan sitting there, who is the head of the Institute of Engineers here. And he's the one who actually convinced all the committee members here at the Institute of Engineers to give us this beautiful hall for the program this evening. So we'd like to express our gratitude to him. We'd also like to thank Mr. Shankar Savant, who is a lecturer here. And also the warden of the Topiwala National Medical College Hostel for having given us this cooperation to arrange this program. We also have Gayatri Mataji, who is a lecturer in anatomy at the Nair Medical College, who is out with us here this evening. We have Anjali Shah Mataji, who also helps guiding the girls here at the Nair Medical Hostel. Also, we have one of the professors, Dr. Abhay Deshmukh. I think he's not here, he's just recently joined. He was also supposed to be here this evening. One Mr. Shah, who was very kind enough to partially sponsor this program. And of course, we would like to thank all the students of the TNMC Medical and Dental Colleges, and also the students of JJ Medical College for having come here. We have some guests who have come from overseas. We have Gornitai Prabhu with us, who is from the United States of America. We have Rai Ramanand Prabhu, who is from Holland. We have devotees from the Czech Republic. We have devotees coming from London. We have devotees coming from Italy. So we would like to extend also a very warm welcome and a gratitude to all of these devotees who have come from overseas and have come here to attend this evening program. So let us express our gratitude to all of them by loudly chanting, Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. So after this program now, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj will lead us into the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mantra. There will be Kirtan, and we request all the students to dance. Like we have observed that whenever we have had these programs, the students of TNMC Medical College are very good at dancing. So we have to show His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj that, you know, we all love to dance. So we request all of you to participate in Kirtan. And after Kirtan, there will be dinner prasad for everyone. Hare Krishna. We'd also like to thank the organizers of this program, Dr. Vijay Gavli and all the other students at TNMC. Hare Krishna.
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda.